just this one verse in Proverbs 27 and verse number 18. Let's all read that together. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Dear Lord, as we look into your word, please open our eyes, our hearts, help us to receive what you have for us. And I pray that, again, you'll fill our preacher with your spirit and meet with us and give us, Lord, each what we need. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Brother Penn, for reading the Word of God with us tonight. I want to bring a Bible study. I've given an appropriate title, I think, but it's going to be a different twist, not on the verse at all, but on the study itself. And that is simply A Great Year Ahead. If you're taking notes, that's the title for tonight, A Great Year Ahead. To many, we know we just read a tremendous verse, verse number 18. And the Bible talked about one who was a servant. And to many, being a servant is kind of like being something dirty. They don't want to serve anybody, but it is there. But is there anything wrong with being a servant, no matter who you are? I'm talking about from leadership to fellowship. Is there anything wrong with being a servant? I don't think so, especially in light of what the Bible says. When I think about Mark 9 and verse 35, where the Bible says, "And he," speaking of Jesus, "sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." A very strong statement. I believe in modern day Christianity, much of that's been passed up in many churches today. And then again in Mark chapter 10 and verse 44, the Word of God and said, "Whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all." I looked up the word chiefest, and I looked up the word first, and I looked up the word being a servant, and I looked at these words here, and it's talking about if you want to for God to exalt you in your life, if you are what it is if you're a servant, He'll raise that position up in this life. And somehow or other, we've forgotten that today in our modern Christianity. We seem to have the idea that the most important person in the room is the leader. But the Bible indicates that it's not the leader, but the servant who's the most important person in the word. The word greatest, you can look those words up for yourself. They all mean basically the same thing. They mean being placed on top, being honored, being lifted up where God would bless them, you see. It almost seems like a contradiction, but it is not a contradiction. To be a servant means that you're in very good company. For example, I think about how David was God's servant. The Bible says in Isaiah 37 and verse 35, it says, "For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." So David was God's servant. Israel was God's servant. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 10 says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." And so we find out that God considered Israel was his servant, you see. And then I think about how Jesus was his own father's servant. How the Bible says in Isaiah 52, that's right, Old Testament. Isaiah 52, verses 13, 14, and 15. "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonied at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider." Notice the words, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently." That's a reference to the Lord Jesus. And so Jesus himself was considered God's servant, and of course he was. He even said he was here to do his Father's will. He said he was here to do what the Father had for him to do. In the Word of God, some of the greatest Christians, I call them Christians, Old Testament or not, because they were believers. They had put their trust in the coming Messiah. But I think of, in the Bible, Joseph was servant to Pharaoh. Moses was servant to Pharaoh. Elisha was servant to Elijah. Daniel was servant to a number of kings. The three Hebrew children were servants to King Nebuchadnezzar. Naaman's wife's little maid in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 2, she was a servant. Ruth was a servant to Naomi. David was a servant to Saul. Tabitha was a servant in her house. Peter and Paul were called servants of Jesus Christ. Really amazing. When you think of all these different ones, they were called servants. And I think that's a marvelous title that God has given them. And all of these people were eventually elevated to places of honor, every single one of them. And according to Proverbs 27 and verse 18, our opening passage tonight, there is a certain advantage to being a faithful servant. Let me read the verse again with that in mind. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. Now that's a picture phrase that God put in the Bible. It says you're going to take care of the fig tree, you're going to eat from the fig tree. But then notice the second one. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. And so here we have a promise from God's word to the servant for his master, for the one who leads him, you see. And what are some biblical examples of exaltation that was given to servants? There's a number of them. I could take a long time and go through an entire list tonight, but I'm not going to do that. For time's sake and for your sake, I'm just simply not going to do that. But I do want to give you some names tonight and some verses that show their servanthood and God's exaltation of them. First of all, there's the example of a woman by the name of Deborah. A woman by the name of Deborah. In Genesis chapter 35 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Alobacath." Now, listen, that doesn't say anything about being exalted. Oh, it says a bunch. You see, because of her faithful service for many years to Rebekah, Deborah actually received a great honor. It's mentioned in this verse. You see, you don't hear much about Rebekah after Jacob left home, not even really anything significant about her death. Not so with her servant Deborah. Deborah was such a faithful servant that even at her death, she was buried in the family plot. She was included in the family because she was such a great servant. Now, that's something to think about because usually people outside the family were not buried with the family, but she was buried with the family because she was a faithful nurse and took care of things just like she was supposed to. And she was a servant, and that is a fulfillment of Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 18. Secondly, this is one that you're all aware of. I don't know how many of you were aware so much of Deborah and Rebekah and the situation there. Maybe you learned something new about that tonight. But then the second example I want to give you is that of Joseph. And we all know the story of Joseph. Genesis chapter 39, starting in verse 2, reading through verse 6. Notice what the Word of God says, "And the Lord was with Joseph." And there's never a man in the Bible that that's said about more than it is about Joseph. God was with Joseph in everything that he did. "And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand," all that he had put into his hand. "And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored," but he was a servant. And he served an individual. You see, Joseph was not just a slave, but more of a faithful servant. Let me say it again. He was not just so much a slave as he was a faithful servant. And of course, all of us are acquainted with the story of Joseph. His life was filled with ups. His life was filled with downs. And he was sold into slavery by his own brothers. When I think about that, I think he was blessed, but yet he was cursed. And he was exalted, and yet he was debased. But God blessed him, and he was a servant. Through the years, his faithfulness was finally rewarded. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 39, if you have your Bible there, verses 22 and 23, "And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper." And he was a servant. He wasn't the leader at that time. He was a servant. And it seemed to be Joseph's main theme in life. And even in his adversity, which he suffered a great deal of, I wonder if it ever crossed his mind that God wasn't being fair. I mean, he didn't ask to be sold into slavery. He didn't ask to be put into prison. It wasn't something he looked for, and wanted in his life. I wonder if he ever questioned God. The Bible doesn't tell us that he did. But I wonder if he ever wondered really what God was doing. Think about all the time he spent in prison. Please note that God let him go to prison and chose to bless him there. You hear what I said? He chose to let him go to prison, not for anything wrong that he did. Let him go to prison, but God blessed him there in prison. I think that's a marvelous thing. And Joseph was a servant. The third individual, I think most of us know somewhat about him, and that's the prophet Elisha. Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 11, notice the Bible says, "But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." Those little phrases that are put in the Bible, he poured water on the hands of Elijah? Apparently he had a reputation. Think about that. That's right. Great man of God was one who attended to the needs of the great prophet Elijah. And this is what is meant by the phrase, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. He was a servant. And he served as a servant until the day that Elijah was taken up into heaven. And of course, it wasn't until years later that Elisha became an exalted preacher. At first, he was a servant to an exalted preacher. And Elisha did not make it to the top by being served. Rather, he chose to be a servant to Elijah. He chose to be the one that would pour water on his hands, that would wash his hands, keep him clean, take care of his needs. He did that, and that was a reputation that he carried. Did you notice there in 2 Kings 3:11, it says, "And he said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." He had a reputation of being a servant. And let me just say this, he had a reputation of being a faithful servant. How would you like to be remembered for washing somebody's hands or taking care of them or whatever it might be? And then, so we find here that, in other words, Elisha, the servant, chose to serve Elijah, the servant of God. It's amazing how God blessed that. And all of these things that I'm giving you right now are a fulfillment of what God said in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 18. Let me show you another example, if I may. The example of the disciples. The longer I study about the disciples, the more like them I see that we are. Not very faithful, complaining, you know, that's just sort of the way they were. Doubting, not listening, and I think that's why I don't like them all that much sometimes. I know they were the disciples, and I know he said to them, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." And I realize that. He didn't choose them for salvation. He chose them for service and to bring forth fruit. He chose those things in their lives. But the disciples were servants. Amazing. Well, it says here in Luke chapter 12 and verse 37, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them." And so if what Jesus says is accurate, and by the way, what he says is accurate, the servants will one day be served. That would include the disciples who served the Lord Jesus. They ate where he ate. They slept where he slept. They walked where he walked. They went to the meetings that he went to, all those different things. And they took care of the Lord Jesus. And by the way, what he says is accurate. And you can always bank on everything that the Lord Jesus says. Another one that I want to give you that is kind of probably not well known. But isn't that what a servant is like? They're not very well known. Acts chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, there's an example of a soldier of all things. So in Acts 10, verses 7 and 8, it says, "And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all things unto them, he sent them to Joppa." Here's a soldier along with other servants. But the soldier was not the leader. The soldier was the servant. And that's a direct fulfillment, again, of Proverbs 27 and verse 18. Cornelius honors his servants, which included a faithful soldier. I think Cornelius needed somebody to help him. And so he had the servants and he had the soldier, and they all chose to be servants. I think that's interesting. Cornelius did not run to his pastor after the angel had spoken to him, rather to his servants, whom he greatly loved and respected. Notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 35. "The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against them that causes shame." Now, let's take the verse as it is, okay? Because God doesn't put words in the Bible just to fill space. They're all there for a reason, with reason and with a purpose. So the king's favor is toward a wise servant. That's your subject. It says, "But his wrath is against them that cause shame." Apparently, someone who's not a servant causes shame. That's what I get out of that. One who chooses not to serve. Let's put it that way. One who chooses not to serve is one that brings shame, because the king's favor is toward the servant, but his wrath is against them that causes shame. So I said, the name of the Bible study tonight is A Great Year Ahead. How's it going to be great? By being a servant during this year. Seeking to serve. No matter what that area might be, seeking to serve. Jesus said that the greatest Christians are the servants. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 35, it says, "And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." Wow, strong statement. In other words, it's not the guy that chooses to lead that's going to be the greatest. It's the one that chooses to serve is the one that's in the greatest. And that's in Jesus' eyes. If being a servant is supposed to be so bad, then why did Jesus elevate that position? He elevated it and said, "You want to be first? You've got to be a servant." Because it's a servant that's going to be elevated, exalted. And if you're not a servant, I almost took this out of my outline tonight. I almost did, but I decided I would go ahead and say it. If you're not a servant, you're not Christ-like. I'll say it again. If you're not a servant, you're not Christ-like. Because Jesus was the greatest servant of all. So are you a servant? Every leader ought to be a servant first in his own mind, rather than being one who seeks the leadership, you see, but rather to seek being a servant. I enjoyed, and I'm no example in a lot of areas, and I realize that, but I'm so thankful for the 11 years that God allowed me to be a second man. I really am. I'm thankful for that. I never sought the pastorate, by the way. The Lord put that on me. But I enjoyed 11 years of being a second man, working with my pastors, helping them, being there for them, and doing their bidding, so to speak. And as a second man, you don't really have a schedule of your own, but you do what you're supposed to do. But I enjoyed that because I think I learned some things as one who served my pastors. So every leader ought to be a servant first in his own mind. And this is how you're going to have a great year ahead. How? By being a servant. Whom in Jesus' own words in Matthew 23 and verse 11, he said, "He that is greatest among you shall be your servant." He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Some men want a pastor, and I've been in the pastorate for a long time, and I've been in the ministry even longer. But I know I've met some who they want to be a leader because they instead of serving, that's what they desire. They want to lead people rather than serve people. And any pastor who does not serve his people is not worth his weight in garbage. And I did write that down. Any pastor who does not serve his people is not worth his weight in garbage. In other words, to coin a phrase, and I looked up the phrase to coin a phrase. I wanted to make sure I was using it right. You ever do that? Look up a phrase that you make sure you're using it correctly, or a word? Well, to coin a phrase, ask not what others can do for you, but rather ask what you can do for others. That's putting a twist on JFK's speech, but it's not his phrase. And though we are not supposed to work for rewards, no, we're not. That's not our motivation in the Christian life. Though we are not supposed to work for rewards, there is a reward for the faithful servant. You can't pass that up in the Bible. And for example, Proverbs 27 and verse 18 is the lesson that Solomon wanted his son Rehoboam to quickly learn. Now here's the reward part. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. That's reward if you're a faithful servant. Serving for the sake of serving. Not serving so that you can get reward, but serving for the sake of serving. And listen, we've all been around long enough, and we've been saved long enough. We've been in churches long enough. We've met those who, they always have to have a pat on the back. They always have to have some kind of a reward. They always have, and whatever they do, it's got to be tit for tat. They got to have this, they got to have that, and all the rest of it. The Bible does not teach that that's right. Well, what the Bible does teach is that if you choose to be a servant, He will bless you. And that's what you're supposed to do. So I think even in our church, we need to look for areas where we can serve. And there are plenty of areas. I mean, maybe not as many as there are in a large, huge church or something like that, but there's plenty of areas to serve here. And jobs that need that will get no reward, and jobs and things that get no recognition, it's all here. Yeah, and you do that, and God will bless that kind of activity in your life. Now, serving in your family, serving your family, serving your friends, serving in your church family. All the different things that we can do. But God says if you're a servant, He will promote you. Let me just say it again. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. I'm not labeling myself as a master, but I am the pastor of the church. But the Bible gives us this here, that we are always to be serving someone, somewhere, somehow, some way, rather than looking to be served. And I've been in the ministry long enough to know that there are those who simply do what they do in order that they might be served, that they might be rewarded, that they might be recognized. Let's let God do that. Let's let God be the one who does that and not worry about it, you see. So, how to have a great year ahead? Decide this year that you're going to be the servant that God has intended you to become. And be that, no matter what. It's not a bad position. Everybody that was great in the Bible was a servant first. And so you're in good company when you choose to serve, you see.